The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Jesse Fuel. He is an independent consultant, and he's going to give his opinion about agile software development, agile in the federal community, so he's not beholden to any one format or company or process, or he's not in the back pocket of Microsoft or the back pocket of anybody. So he's kind of an independent fella. He's going to tell you what he thinks. And if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, that's fine, too. He has got an interesting background. I think he's got a great story to tell when it comes to agile software development. We've talked about agile in the past from many different perspectives, but you know, sometimes a company comes in here, they have a certain bias and a perspective. If they want a recent contract from the federal government, they want to, you know, say that that's the best way to approach things. Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe agile doesn't fit for this project, and that's why we brought Jesse in, because he's a cowboy out there riding around all on his own, and woohoo, and he can give you some good independent information. Jesse, tell us about your background and tell us how people can get a hold of you.
Well, John, thanks for having me. Big fan, and excited to be here this morning. The best way to get a hold of me is the website. You know, all God's children got to have a website. And that's just my name, jessefewell.com, JesseFewell. The joke is that my name is Jewel with an F and a little bit of love at the end. So, that's jessefuel.com is where you can learn a little bit about me.
Interesting background, degree in mathematics and some interesting language studies as well.
Yeah, I'm an Army brat. My dad was did his 20 years in the Army, which meant that I lived abroad, did high school in Germany, where I picked up a little bit of the language, playing some basketball in the Jugend Bundesliga, which was a total blast. And then I married into an Indian family, and that's how I picked up Hindi, even lived there for 2 years in 2010, 2011. And the math thing, was inspired by, did you ever see the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, where the alien guy wants to take me to your leader, and the smartest guy was the mathematician, the math teacher.
Oh, so you wanted to be just like him,
that's
huh?
That's right, that's
and
right.
Washington, D.C. as well.
And of course, that pursuit was an abject failure. There's no way I'm as smart as that guy.
Well, that's good to know. However, you do have experience with agile software development and federal projects.
Yes. I live here in D.C., and you can't go too far without working on federal work in this town. And I was at the right place at the right time and started working on that stuff early in the day.
Well, I'll be real direct here. If you look Jesse up on LinkedIn, F-E-W-E-L-L, you'll find an article that he wrote called Yes, Virginia, Collaboration Can Solve Government. And you read that article and you find about playing games. Well, we ain't playing no stinking games here, boy. What about this games?
That is a fascinating development at the municipal, the local government level in San Jose and Bozeman, Montana, experimenting with collaboration games, which are highly structured, facilitated collaboration events where the mayors brought in citizens and said, help me balance the budget. Pick some stuff. Give me some ideas.
It's like, I'm not picking, you pick.
Exactly.
Huh?
And so imagine a leader engaging his constituents. Imagine that. And so the guys over at Cantaneo, are the inventors of innovation games, building out a community, a movement around serious play. It's part of the gaming movement. If you've heard of gamification and the gameful mindset, it's been popularized on TED. It's been popularized on software, and I'm one of their partners. And that's something that I like to bring into organizations, is that mindset.
And so the perspective is, instead of John Gilroy sitting on a throne making dictates, it's just the opposite. It's no, let's flip that around. Let's go to the actual people who's going to impact and ask them what their thoughts and ideas are, which is very similar to what agile software development is, isn't it?
You know, and there, it's just one of many manifestations of the killer app. And the killer app, John, is collaboration. In today's world, you cannot get by playing by yourself. Tony Scott, the CIO for the United States, has this great quote. He says that today, federal work is a contact sport. You've got to roll up your sleeves and go get in touch with people, whether it's your constituents, whether it's the warfighter, whether it's contractors and feds and different departments. Collaboration is the killer app.
You know, I've worked with a lot of local companies in developing websites, and if you get a CEO that sits in a room and gets a little piece of paper and I know you're going to laugh at this one, and designs a website best on his favorite color and what he feels like and what, you know, it's going to be a big fat loser. You need to get Jesse, put him in front of a group of 20 people and get him in there for 8 hours, play games, ask dumb questions, record sessions, throw things at people, get him in different groups, switch around the groups. And I don't know how else you're going to get a good feel for what people want and need. That's the best way to do it.
Well, you know, if you've heard of the movement around evidence-based policy, a lot of times the only evidence that leaders bring to the table is their own opinions, and they're in love with their ideas. But no, one of the great ways to implement evidence-based policy is just go ask your users, go ask your customers and constituents, and you'll get great data.
In my world, it's called voice of customer, and perhaps in our listeners' world, it might be voice of citizen, or perhaps a voice of the person using, maybe the warfighter, perhaps.
A voice of constituent, yeah.
Voice of a constituent there. So what the heck? How can this be applied to the federal government? There's no way. Maybe we're, you know, we're not selling shoes here or tap dancing lessons. I mean, this is government services. How would this flexible development even apply?
Well, two different top. One is the collaboration aspect. The other is about flexibility. If we continue on the collaboration track, you've got your subject matter experts. Every agency, every contractor knows who's the go-to person. When I was working at U.S. Visit, there was one guy who knew all the secret passwords, and he was the go-to guy in the aftermath of the Madrid bombings, and everyone was around him. He was the go-to guy, and you know who that is. So don't shield them from the strategic initiatives. Pull them into the loop. Because that's where the real knowledge is, not at the executive level. That's where the decision-making happens. The details are on the front lines.
So in a typical agile software development project, the collaboration will take place in small groups. And let's review this for our audience. I'm sure our audience knows all these terms, Scrum and Sprint and whatnot. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what a Scrum is and what a Sprint is and how this collaboration all works.
Yeah, the Agile movement was founded, coined, and documented at the website agilemanifesto.org. Everybody's got an opinion about what Agile's about. You know what? Forget it. Stuff it. The real answer is agilemanifesto.org, and it's about deliver early and often using high-performing, self-organizing teams that continuously and aggressively get better and better and better. And Scrum is the most popular methodology to implement those principles and values. And the way that Scrum approaches that is by coming up with structured, disciplined, regular, reliable schedule milestones called sprints, and fully allocating your multi-skilled team resources, just like your favorite Army movie, The Dirty Dozen, the Magnificent Seven. Everybody's got skills they bring to the table, but that's the one thing they're working on because of focus. We want focus. And Scrum uses these funny buzzwords in order to let go of baggage you have about the requirements document, let go of baggage you have about the project manager role, and just focus on getting it done. So you get funny buzzwords to focus a group of people around a common unifying goal in a structured schedule mindset. That's kind of what Scrum is about.
Common goal, structured mindset. You know, if you look at the leaders in the federal government, you mentioned Tony Scott and the ones before him, Steve and Vivek. They've all sat in here and talked about what their goals and objectives are. Mm. But Tony comes from the commercial world, and he's talking about having loose and flexible ways to develop software, which is just being reinforced. Difficult to apply, I think, in many federal instances.
It has been difficult, but it's becoming very quickly the new normal. There is no federal CIO worth his salt who's going to get up here and say Agile does not have a place in this agency. It's just that's a good indication that you're no longer relevant. Instead, what's been happening over the last 10 years is an evolution from the point where Vivek, you mentioned him, he keynoted at the PMI Global Congress here in D.C., and he talked about his modular IT principles. Well, let's evolve today. The Obama administration has a dedicated U.S. digital service that issued the playbook. It's at playbook.cio.gov. And this is the new principle about the new government guidelines, things like using iterative methods, things like using common modern technology platforms, things like using the right people at the right time.
Let's take a little break here. When we come back, talk about some of the concerns and issues that many govies have when it comes to agile software development, and maybe talk about Agile 2015 and Agile 2016 as well. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio of Jesse Fuel, independent consultant. You can find him at JesseFuell.com. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, the world famous Jesse Fuel.
Woo-hoo.
He's an independent consultant, and we're talking about agile software development in the federal government. And, you know, I get around, I go to a lot of events, I'm sitting talking to govies and having lunch and telling bad jokes. And I'm sure if I sat down with a typical govie, you would get these three things. They'd say, well, you know, that agile stuff is fine and Jesse's a nice guy. But, you know, we can't get the big dogs. We can't get sponsored buy-in around here. So how do you overcome that there, Jesse boy? You know, the big dogs don't buy into this stuff.
The big dogs are going to be concerned about mission objectives. And so whenever you have, nobody cares about your methodology. Nobody cares. What they care about are mission results, capability output. And so there's a great online resource put out by a tool vendor, and that's called the State of Agile Survey. Every year there's a survey out there, stateofagile.com. And it tells you in this survey, what are the number one goals that people expect to get out of an agile approach? And it's your standard stuff, faster delivery, faster time to mission, higher productivity, higher morale, better alignment between delivery and sponsors. And so I would encourage anybody who's struggling with getting buy-in, download that resource, look at the top list of mission objectives and say, these are the ones that resonate.
Could you repeat that website again for my listeners?
Stateofagile.com, I believe it is.
And so don't talk about Scrum or all these fancy terms we just mentioned in the first block. Talk about, look, we can help you achieve your goals by using these techniques.
Absolutely.
That's the way to do that. So.
Absolutely.
Number two. So I'm sitting at an event talking to Govey, and I go, what do you think of agile software development? And the second thing they'll say is, you know, this co-location of teams, it ain't gonna fly here. We got to sit in the same room. And, you know, what if the best talent maybe is in Seattle or the talent is in Florida or something? You know, in the commercial world, that's no problemo. They just get online and work it out somehow. Will govies do that?
This is a real hang-up that a lot of your garden variety agile expert is going to have. And don't buy it. Don't believe it for a second that you have to do, the only way to do agile is if everyone in the same conference room. Remote is the new normal. There's a trade association that found last year, one out of every five Americans works from home at least one day a week. And so the whole distributed thing, India is not the issue. The issue is that this is the new normal. USA staffing is a well-documented agile implementation over at OPM. And they told their story at Agile 2015 this year. And the way that they're able to get successful is that they recruited talent, regardless of their location. Everybody's got a headset and a webcam. And that's how they're collaborating, especially on the business side of the USA staffing operation. So this is the new normal. In fact, John, I would love to come back and talk about federal telework, because this is where I'm pivoting these days, is helping people navigate and migrate from office work to telework. It's non-trivial, but it is the new normal.
You know, just yesterday, I was had a telephone call scheduled at 10 o'clock in the morning with a high-level person at a local company. And her mom was in a nursing home. She just left her mom at 10 o'clock in the morning, and she's going to work. And the telephone call took place while she's in a car.
Yeah.
And it was billable time for me, and I liked it. But, you know, she was probably going to work till 10 o'clock that night. And so, you know, old John Gilroy, the old geezer, get the suit and tie on and show up at 9 o'clock in the morning and leave at 5. Well, Jesse, hey, you're old-fashioned, buddy. You can forget about that. That's the old way of thinking, isn't it?
Well, there's a time and a place. You know, at the end of the day, all sales are personal. So if you're going to close a sales deal, you got to suit up and fly over. But when it comes to day-to-day operations, once you've created a connection, you've built up a foundation of a team, You're gonna have to find a way to get that talent engaged, regardless of where they are. There's a New York Times bestselling book called Remote, and if you can get past the fact that the authors are trying to sell their tool, it's actually fascinating that this is their strategy, their sourcing strategy. And this is a commercial example, but as I mentioned over at USA Staffing, that turned into their federal strategy for building a high performing team.
You know, when I meet lawyers at events, I always say, well, I've got a problem. Who would you recommend beside yourself
that would be
a good attorney for this project or this problem I have? And you get interesting answers that way. And so I'm going to toss this to you. I'd say, well, tell me there, Jesse, name a project that would not be a good fit for an agile software development.
Well, remember the word agile is about flexibility and adapting to change. And so if you are dealing with a project that where the risk is not around building the wrong thing and the risk is not about time, then agile is probably going to have too much overhead. There was one commercial example. A woman said, every year I have to order a new printer. And this is like a mass printing press for a paper advertising company. They did paper ads. And every year I got to do this. Should I use Agile for that? And I said, well, how many times have you done it before? She said, I've done it every year for the last 5 years. Do you know what needs to be done? Yes. Do you know where the risk is? She says, actually, the risk is for me just not getting around to it. I said, you know what? Agile's got too much overhead. Just do it. Agile is an approach that deals with the key risk areas around time to delivery and evolving requirements.
So would you say it's best for non-sequential projects?
Sequential projects are structured as a solution to a problem. And so that's the first, what problem are you trying to solve? Is it just doing something that you've done multiple times? That sounds like operations. And yeah, there's I have dabbled with some colleagues of mine in the world of agile operations, and we could talk about DevOps. But really, the agile mindset is about using a very iterative and adaptive approach to solving specific problems based on where the risk is. Where's your risk?
So if someone is listening to this interview and, you know, the Nationals are in spring training or something, and they want to get a hold of you, they could go to your website. So you would offer training for Agile software development? What kind of services would you offer?
Like any self-respecting independent, I do offer training and coaching. I don't want to make it sound like the only way you can get goodness is by paying money. You just go to the website every couple of days. I have a new YouTube video that where I talk about the latest trends in the work world, and I am going to be putting together my greatest hits for a low monthly fee if you don't want to spend a big amount of money over at virtuallyagile.com. So that's a couple of ways where you could get some of my ramblings and rantings.
But, you know, in the real world, you know, a car mechanic has to learn how to do work on a Prius because it's a complete different engine. Okay,
yeah.
You know that, okay? And in the real world, in software development for the federal government, you know, there isn't sufficient training. And I think that's a fair objection.
That's a good
point. If I waltz into you and say, Jesse, guess what? We're going to do Agile. You're going to go, well, it's fine and dandy, but, you know, I need to have some kind of maybe guidelines or ideas of how to do it. I think this is it's a valid concern.
It is. And this goes back to change management. If you have a certain set of policies and operating procedures today and you want to move into a better, higher performing environment, you've got some organizational change management to do. And so you might want to start looking into ADCAR, or you might want to start looking into another change model where first you're building out the capability. You got to learn before you do. And this is another thing. And the agile garden variety agile expert's going to say, no, the best way to learn is by doing. But it's also a really good way to get discouraged. If you tried shooting hoops without ever anybody telling you how to shoot hoops, you'll get discouraged and you'll give up. So instead, get a little bit of training, yes, but as a way to equip you so that you can get a little bit of a head start, get some steam rolling into this.
How do you overcome the objection when people say, oh, Jesse, you seem like a nice guy, but this agile stuff, it's just a management fad?
Management, well, I was in India teaching this stuff out to a group of project managers, and I had one guy pull me aside and say, Jesse, I've heard of this continuous integration before. I've heard of this continuous improvement before. I've heard of this self-organizing teams and theory action theory. is this just old wine in a new wineskin?
And
you know, if John, if it's just you and me and the couple of the two or three people listening on the radio today, the answer is, yeah, it is. It's just old wine in a new, we've learned about lean management. We've learned about total quality management. We've learned about all of these movements, ITIL and CMMI, they all have an aspect of continuous improvement in it. This is not new. What's new is that people are now doing it. It used to be one of these great ideas. You bring in an expensive consultant, he teaches you for a week, and then nobody changes their behavior. Now the market, it's awesome. The market is demanding. The mission is demanding that we change this. This is why the DOD and the intelligence community were the frontline leaders about adapting Agile about 10 years ago, because the mission demands that we change.
Working software, customer collaboration, responding to change. These are all the themes we're talking about, Agile software development. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about how Agile software development has been applied in the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jesse Fuel, an independent consultant. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jesse Fuel, independent consultant. Kind of tough to spell. Why don't you spell that for our listeners, please, Jesse?
Story of my life. Funny name. Jesse as in Jesse James. Fuel as in Jewel with an F and a little bit of another L at the end. JESSEFEWELL.
There we go. And you can find you on YouTube. Is that right?
Yeah. Just go to youtube.com/JesseFuel. I'm a linkedin.com/IN/JesseFuel, facebook.com/JesseFuel.
And let me guess your Twitter handle. He has a theme here.
Yeah.
No one's going to take that
Jesse
one.
Jesse Fuel.
Yeah. I tried to get John Gilroy, but some crazy Irishman took it. And so I had to wind up with a funny name. So I'm at Ray Gilray only because that Irishman, I'm going to go over and get that guy one of these days. You know,
that's cool. Ray Gilray.
Ray Gilray is kind of different. Talking about agile software development. You've been involved for many years with different types of agile projects. You've been involved with Agile 15. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So my listeners are listening, going, "Well, where can they read more?" And I like blogs. I mean, there's blogs I like to read. Is there a blog you can suggest my listeners to read to learn more about Agile software development?
Oh goodness, there's blogs. There are blogs aplenty. There are books aplenty. But I got to tell you, my favorite source of information for Agile stuff is New York Times bestsellers. What I read and I bring to an Agile initiative is stuff from Marcus Buckingham about knowing your strengths, or stuff from Patrick Lencioni about death by meeting, or the five dysfunctions of a team. And one of my favorites is Jim Collins, Good to Great. The New York Times bestsellers, I find, are structured as really good narratives. And
what's the one, Start With Why? I've heard about that guy.
Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And that's where I get the phrase, nobody cares about what you have to sell. They care about why you're doing what you're doing. Nobody buys what you do. They buy why you do it. Mission, mission, mission. That's how you motivate teams. It's how you prioritize work.
Yeah, Simon's got an interesting story. He backed off, by the way, so kind of interesting that he had this theory and then he backed off from the theory, but that is for a different discussion. Perhaps we'll get Simon in the studio and see what Simon says.
good.
Agile software development, Govies. Okay, you know, listen, Jesse. Jesse's a nice guy. He's smart. I know Agile works very well. But you know what?
It doesn't
work in our agency because we have old-style procurement policies, and that's the hang-up. We want to use you, buddy. We want to use Agile, but we're stuck with Waterfall because that's how we buy stuff.
In the federal world, this is the number one impediment and issue. And a lot of times it's because we've got a fixed scope down to the microscopic details. And you're screwed. I mean, you've been told that you have to deliver everything by a specific date, and there's no flexibility. There are no innovation opportunities permitted. And so what's most exciting in the last 5 years is that there is a procurement evolution that's happening. There's been a lot of talk about 18F. You had a couple of guests a couple of weeks ago talked about what that's about with implementing policies I like to call play for pay.
They're trying. I think GSA's trying. They've heard. Maybe the stakeholders have heard Jesse Fuel screaming in the darkness.
Yeah. Another really exciting example comes from the administration's U.S. Digital Service. There's a resource called the TechFAR, and it was written by It was written by a guy who used to work over at the National Geospatial Agency, where he was talking about the procurement is about the structure of the contract, not the content. And that mindset shift, what were you paying for, is not a specific capability, but you're paying for a capability development. That mindset is starting to take hold, and it's allowing federal agencies more flexibility within a procurement structure. So there's a lot of really exciting evolutions happening, whether it's over at the TECFAR or 18F or a lot of other RFPs coming out that are talking about having these agile concepts in place.
I'll be teaching a course in January, and it is 37.5 hours, 2,250 minutes, and I have every minute structured, and I know exactly where I'm going. And guess what? That is really stupid for software development. You can't develop any software projects that way. What is taught in agile software development is you get a group of smart people in a room, listen to customers, listen to citizens, and what happens is the design emerges. And I'm, you know, pounding on the wall going, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. But, you know, with rapidly changing technology, I don't know how else you're going to be efficient. The design just kind of emerges out of the glop.
Well, this is the other thing that your garden variety agile guy is going to hold his feet to the ground, which is don't do any upfront work, don't do any upfront planning, don't do any due diligence at all. And your average government guy is going to go in the other extreme, which is, no, I got to know every detail of everything before we ever do anything at all. And the truth is, there's a sweet spot. There's a sweet spot in there. You got to do some due diligence to get started, but let the details emerge. They create a high level structure, and then move along the way. So if your listeners really want to hear about how modern federal procurement is evolving, they've got to go check out the TECFAR. And just Google that up. It was developed by Jonathan Mostowski, who was at National Geospatial and now is over at the USDS. And it's an exciting resource about how you can apply these concepts to procurement.
In professional baseball, it's hard to get left-handed hitters. They're just hard to find. And in agile software development, product owners, this is a job title. This is a skill set. That's an unusual skill set. It's almost like a left-handed hitter. They're hard to find. And if you can get one that maybe can play shortstop, not shortstop, they're left field or first base, this is a tough skill, isn't it?
It is, but it's also coming to the place where if you're a federal contractor or federal tech worker, you've got to get in the game. So I would encourage you, go out and get some training. The number one most popular agile training out there is the Certified Scrum Master. It's entry level, no experience required, despite the funny name Master. Anybody off the street, just Google it. You can find a class in your area, and you'll join the community of over a half million people. So here's my question to you, PMP. Project manager. My question to you, tech worker. If there's a half million people in the workforce right now that are doing this, don't you want to be a part of that movement, or else you're going to get left behind? So that's my challenge.
Let's talk about the local PMI group here, project managers. I mean, there's 13 groups in town here. They meet once a month, and they have little workshops on agile software development. Great place to start.
It really is. In fact, if you go to pmiwdc.org/agile-meetup, there is a monthly recurring meetup on agile topics that we're organizing at the PMI chapter. So if you're a project manager and you want to get a handle on how this goes, in fact, coming up this January, the second Monday in January, we're going to have a presidential debate on agile methods, where we got four different experts getting up and saying, you should do agile this way. No, you should do agile this way. And my opponent believes that you should do it the wrong way. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But that is a great place. Get connected with other people in the community.
Who's going to moderate that? You?
I'm actually a panelist.
A panelist.
I'm going to be speaking on one of the more hippie style agile approaches to large agile programs. And then we got another person who's speaking on a more structured top down approach. And then we got two people that did a context specific. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of good experts. PMIWDC.org/agile-meetup.
I have been involved in many, many scrums and project managers. And one, I guess, problem I see happening is the scrum master maybe has some pretty good development skills and maybe just jumps into developing. And all of a sudden, no. You're not playing first base. You're managing the team. You're putting up the line card. And so sometimes you see the problem of scrum masters contributing too much where they really shouldn't be using that skill set. They should be using the facilitator skill set.
Yeah. So now you're getting into personal stuff. If I'm a tech worker listening
to this.
No,
it's personal.
Yeah.
No, it's personal, buddy.
And if you guys remember, Bill Russell, he was a player coach a while back and earned a couple of rings doing that. It works if it's the right situation. And so you could have a tech lead who serves as a team facilitator or a problem solver on behalf of the team, but you got to ask your team, do they feel comfortable with you playing that role? Because you might think that you're the guy when at the water cooler, they're talking behind your back saying, I can't believe that egotistical maniac who thinks that he's
Michael Jordan was too old to come back. Maybe coach.
Yes. So I had to come to grips that it was time. I was a software engineer for 10 years, and I had to come to grips with the fact that the real value I added was to let go of the tech work and start leading up.
Ooh, got a raw nerve here, huh? Well, that's good.
Yeah. And so my challenge to you, if you're a tech lead, if you're a project manager, you're probably working 50, 60 hours a week. You put in your 35 at the office, and then you dial in from home, and you're doing everything. You're doing the extra testing. You're doing extra facility. You're booking the meetings. You're taking minutes, and you're doing tech design, and you're burning out. So pick one thing. Do that good.
Okay, and we're going to switch topics from burnouts to maybe talk about testing after we take the break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Jesse Fuel. He is an independent consultant. We're talking Agile and the federal government. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Jesse Fuel. He's an independent consultant. Kind of tough to spell your name, so I'll let you spell out the website there, Jesse.
Yes, funny name, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Fuel, F as in Frank, E-W-E-L-L, Jesse Fuel.
.com, you get a big fancy picture of Jesse, you connect up to his videos and blogs and articles, and we didn't even mention Agile 2015, it's on my notes here, so what's Agile 2015, and what was it?
Every year, the big global Agile conference happens in North America, and this year... at Agile 2015, it was
right downtown.
It was over at National Harbor, and there was a dedicated track to government talks. So there was a whole track of applying Agile methods to the government space.
Wow!
There were a couple of case studies, and there were a couple of people offering some recommendations. A lot of good friends of mine, and one of them was the story about over at USA Staffing. I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the show. But there was another one where Josh Seckel, who's branch chief over at Citizenship, was talking with Jerome Fries, who's the chief methodologist at IRS. And they talked about several case studies coming from GSA, from the veterans, from IRS, and Citizenship, and talking about some of the successes and challenges they've had. So there's going to be another track next year at the Global Agile Alliance.
Going to be
conference.
In Atlanta next year in 2016.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's not that big a drive. Go down there. It's a good town. I like Atlanta.
So it's a thing.
You know, when you go to these conferences, people always ask questions, and they come up to me, and they go, well, I heard that Jesse on the radio. Now, is he a nerd? I go, so I have come up with a scientific 10-question test.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to decide exactly whether or not you're a card-carrying nerd.
First, really?
First question is, do you have an Instagram account?
I do, but I don't use it.
Oh, there's a funny answer.
I'm
isn't
not
it?
A millennial.
That's like, it depends. Are you a lawyer? How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
I am a high-tech, low-spend kind of a guy, so I have an iPhone 5C.
No nerd. That's a no nerd. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Twitter.com/JesseFuel. Okay.
And have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I have not. I'm still a YouTube guy.
Okay.
I'm dabbling, thinking about it. Blab is another one. Blab is something a friend of mine's talking about.
Brand new. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I'm an iPhone guy, but I'm getting increasingly disillusioned, and I just switched over to Gmail. I'm thinking about switching Teams.
Mm-hmm. What's the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
Trello.
There's a tool for collaboration. That's a good one. How many tablet devices do we have floating around your house?
3 to 4. It's one per person. Actually, no, I've got my Kindle and my phone. Teen's got a phone and a laptop. Tween's got, everybody's got something.
When was your most recent post in social networking?
The most recent post, I think, was a little Twitter thing I sent out that Agile Methods is not about buzzwords. It's about behaviors.
And is your Apple Watch due for Christmas, or when are you going to get your Apple Watch?
I'm down on Apple Watch, and I'm big on Fitbit. Fitbit, lower cost, same juice, same goodness. And it's got a little,
we can tell you're not really a nerd here. Well, that's the last one. We'll have a real estimation here. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic, absolutely.
Well, you're kind of in the middle of the road here. You're no nerd, buddy. You're kind of a nerd wannabe, I think.
With hey, some
of
you know, just because I don't follow the Agile dogma, yeah. Agile ain't Apple. How about that?
You got to get a new phone like about every 3 months if you want to be up to speed. You have to have you
that's
know, every
fair.
Hour social media here.
That's fair, but I just don't want to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, that's the way it is. I'm an old geezer. I've been around, seen a lot of things come and go, and I've heard people say, oh, that's the management fad, or this is zero-based budgeting, that's a management fad, and agile software. I don't think continuous improvement is going to be a fad. I think that's going to be a part of our society. Things are changing too fast now.
Yeah.
So where do you see agile software development going in the federal government? You know, we see 18F, we see attempts at this, we see the big dogs from the White House pounding on lecterns, screaming about you know, change and iterative approaches. So where do you think it's going to head in the next few years?
Well, in the commercial space, the Agile movement has moved from the early adopters to the early majority. We are well in the late majority in the commercial space. If you're not doing Agile in the commercial space, then you are behind the eight ball. And in the federal space, I think we moved out of the early adopters into the early majority. We're starting to see more momentum. And this is just the way it is with tech in the federal world, right? I mean, the government world usually is a little bit behind the commercial world as far as these movements. But you're right. This Agile thing is not really new. It's just a new packaging of continuous improvement and collaboration. So here's where it's going to go. A lot of the guys I'm talking to saying it's going to get to the point where it's so common, it's no longer interesting. You remember the big the movement around object-oriented? Well, there are no object-oriented conferences anymore. It's just what people do. And a lot of people I'm talking to and saying that Agile is going to go away as a buzzword and a movement, but the practices are going to stick around.
It's interesting. If you go into rural Virginia, you'll see these little motels and it'll say air-conditioned. You know, really? You remember the signs? Now, of course it's air conditioned. It's like Agile. Hey, guess what? Your kids will be out there working. Hey, it's Agile. And
that's
you go,
right.
Dad, it's all Agile. It's always been Agile. No, it hasn't. And those air conditioned signs are going to be the new Agile signs.
In fact, you get a glimpse of this with the U.S. Digital Service, their playbook, which I mentioned earlier in the show. There's the word Agile's not mentioned.
It's implied.
It's implied. And well, who are these people building this? Well, you know, it's all the Silicon Valley tech kids that Obama recruited to come over to the other side of the coast.
Who are these people? Who are these people? They assume it.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the new normal to the point where I'm not going to hire you. I will not hire you, software engineer, if you don't know how to write your own unit test. I will not hire you if you don't know how to give me a working demo every couple of weeks. It's now no longer a question of the fad and a question of now professional relevance.
I have to ask about testing. In olden days, it would test at the end, and that was just a disaster. And so now there's a lot more continuous testing, but it has to be automated now. I mean, you know, if there's testing, that's a time problem, and it has to be automated. I think that's an issue that comes up.
It is, because usual testers know this. They know that they are the ones that are forgotten about first. Whenever there's a crunch, it's testing that gets sacrificed. It's testers that get hit hardest. And so what we want to do is start moving to a testing competency where we bake it into – this is back in the old TQM days where everybody had a contribution they would make. So automated testing is the first start. It cannot be your only solution. I still have to do certification accreditation. I still have to do IVNV. But when I get to that at the end of the project, it better be a cakewalk. I better have zero defects coming into that because of all of the engineering discipline I've applied on the front end. And this is what DevOps is about. DevOps is about building a collaborative commitment to quality across the board.
So I teach my kids not to have any debt. However, in Agile software development, there's a concept called technical debt. So what the heck's that? You owe Jesse some money or what?
Well, anybody who knows that the legacy system they've been working on sucks, and there's a reason it sucks, is because you compromised on quality to get out the door on time. And so if you need to fix it, then you're paying money to fix. So you're borrowing from tomorrow the money that you are sacrificing today.
It is debt, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's just money because you're going to the tech lead will always tell you, pay me now or pay me later. Either you invest in testing now before we go out the door, or you invest in testing later after it crashes, like healthcare.gov.
Are there tools that you can recommend for continuous testing?
Continuous testing, all the major players, HP, Microsoft, IBM, they're gonna say that they've got their thing. But what's interesting about the DevOps movement is that there's a rise of these new small lightweight platforms. You've got Chef, you've got Jenkins, Cucumber. You've got all of these tools that are specific to purpose, fit for purpose of doing one thing. And what's happening now is a lot of the tool vendors heard about this and they're starting to say, oh, we're DevOps compatible. We can do GitHub and we can do Chef and we can do Jenkins. And it's less about the platform and more about building out a competency and a capability.
And we didn't mention transparency, but with this 18F project, you know, you can go to 18F and you can look at the proposals that each one of the 16 companies have for this project.
There's nowhere to hide.
I mean, that's transparency.
There's nowhere to hide anymore, ever again. And this is one of the dings that people have about the federal space is that everyone is parochial. Everyone is territorial. And you know what? That's one of the big upsides, I think, of the Agile movement is that collaboration is the killer app. There's nowhere to hide anymore, ever again. All the truth is out. And you know, what better principle for federal projects than transparency? Taxpayers need to see where their money's going. Agency executives need to see how progress is being made. No more games between a contractor and a sponsor trying to play this zero-sum mindset. If you want to do zero-sum mindset, you know what? You're just not going to be good at technology. Technology is, by definition, a collaborative, innovative effort.
Working software, transparency. I didn't mention fail early, fail often, but we'll hold that for the next time because failure is kind of difficult for many people in the Pentagon to wrap their little arms around. But that is a story for a different interview. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jesse Fuel, independent consultant. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you. Great being here.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.